Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Possibly in here tonight, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Amen. So let's read this. Amen. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen. Romans 1:16. "For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Amen. Hallelujah. "For as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now notice this phrase where it says the just. Well, the just, it means the righteous one. Now you know we only become righteous by the shed blood of Jesus and our faith in Jesus Christ. But we are righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ, by His shed blood. And it says the just shall live by faith. Notice that phrase, and we found out when it says the just shall live by faith, it's their faith in God that we're to live by. Amen. So that we're doing this current series from this verse, and we're calling it This Faith Life. Because for the believer, faith is a way of life. It's not a one and done thing. It's not over because you used your faith yesterday or you made Jesus the Lord of your life. Same way you got saved is the same way you stay saved, by your faith in Jesus Christ. So faith is a way of life. It's how we lived. And so we found out that this verse of Scripture is taken from Habakkuk, and it is used here in Romans and then two other instances in the New Testament. So as a sum total, we see the just shall live by faith four different times in the Bible. When God repeats himself and he says it four different times, then it's pretty, we better pay attention. Because this is where this is what faith pleases God. We can't even please God without living by faith. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to continue this Faith Life series. And some things that we've talked about, I've taken a little different approach this series and hope that it would help us. I've kind of done it from more of a, not what faith is to begin with, but more from a apologetic style to contend for the faith and to equip the saints to know that their personal faith in God is so important. And you have to be settled in that. So we talked about man's faith crisis because all mankind has at some point in his life a faith crisis. We talked about man's faith journey, and we're talking about, personal faith in God that produces a active and working faith is the goal that we should all be shooting for. And this series will help us to do that. And so where we are currently at in this series is the answer to man's faith journey to find God is knowing how God reveals himself to man. I'll say that again. The answer to man's faith journey to find God is knowing how God reveals himself to man. So we'll just call. We're talking about this. We have been talking about this. And tonight we're going to just entitle this message, instead of part one, two, or three, we're calling it How God Reveals Himself. We found already we have done three of these, and we have two more to do. We believe we'll get through them tonight, but if we don't, that's all right. I'd rather follow the Holy Ghost and give you what the Holy Spirit is saying than me just trying to push through and give you what I'm saying. So, praise the Lord. So, we began by saying there's five ways that the Scriptures we know that God said He reveals Himself to man. Number one, we found through what? Creation. Number two, through what? Conscience. Number three, through what? The Word of God, God's holy Word. And so we're not going to reiterate on either of them. We're going to pick up with number four tonight, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a means, a great means, by which God reveals Himself to mankind. And so we want to look at several things concerning this, because many times when we read John 14, which we're going to look at, 14, 15, and 16 verses from there, we understand as believers that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal God and give mankind, in particular, believers, revelation knowledge of God. Everybody say believers. So all of us primarily in here, we have been trained to understand the Holy Spirit works with us to help us to know God better, to know His will, to know His way. And the Holy Spirit works with the believer to reveal God to us. But do we know that, or we take that, we should know that, but do we know that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal God to all mankind? We may forget that. Never forget the Holy Spirit is working to reveal Himself to every lost sinner. It's His job. It's His job. This is why we pray. This is why the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, when we pray for the lost. Hallelujah. Now let's begin tonight in this journey by looking at the Holy Spirit is God's answer to the question of how does God reveal Himself to man by looking at John 16, verses 7 through 11. And we're going to be reading from the Amplified Translation because it's going to be very helpful for us tonight. These are the words of Jesus. Howbeit, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. You know, one reason is because when Jesus walked this earth, even though He was God manifested in the flesh, He could only be at one place at one time. But with Him leaving and sending the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's present with you, with me, and we can be in different locations. Hallelujah. So this is beautiful. And so for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, will not come into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Okay? Now, we keep on reading. Verse 8 says, and when He comes, He will convict and convince the world. Everybody say the world. So notice Jesus goes from talking about the advantage that the disciple will have, his follower will have, the believer will have by the Holy Spirit. Now He's talking about the assignment of the Holy Spirit for the world itself. Amen. Those that have not received Christ. I love this. Many times you have probably heard me pray for God to work in a way both convicting and convincing people of who Jesus is and of their need of Him. This is where I get this from. Because it says He will, the Holy Spirit will convict and convince. Convict. He will convict and convince the world about certain things. And so we're going to read about those certain things. But notice, He's going to convict our need of Him. And He's going to convince He's going to convict us, we're going to find, of our sin, but of also of our need of Him. But He's also going to convince us of who He is, who Christ is, and how we can come to Him. Do you understand that? So this is the beautiful thing of this. The Holy Spirit will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin. See, the Holy Ghost is going to work with people about their sin problem. Because in the mind of God, the real issue is getting the sinner to Christ. Because in the mind of God, the sin issue has been dealt with on the cross. And if you can get the sinner to Christ, then you can take care of the sin. But as long as man doesn't see their need for God, or man doesn't think that their sin is a problem, then it blocks what God wants to do in their life. All the while, the door is open for Satan to deceive and to eat their lunch, to steal, kill, and destroy. It is impossible to live in sin and not have the door open, whether you're in the world or you're in the church, whether you're a sinner or you're a saint. Either way, when you live in sin, you open the door to the devil. And whether you know it or not, and so the sooner we realize that the scripture says this, I'm just going to read this. It's in Romans chapter 6. You can write it down, verse 16. It says, "Know you not, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So in the mind of God, whether we think that way or not, God is telling us when we yield ourselves, this is why it's important what we think, what we say, and what we do. Because the anger of man, just let's talk about that for a minute. Oh, Lord, we won't finish tonight. But that's all right. But see, the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And you can be where that's at? That's in the book of James. So what happens is, the reason that's there is because it lets us know that when we, over in Ephesians chapter 4, remember it says, be angry and sin not. And then it says, neither give place to the devil, because sin creeps at the door in anger unbridled and working against one another, saying evil things where bitterness and envy and strife is and anger is every evil work. And so what happens is the door is open. That's why it says neither give place to the devil. And there's in Ephesians 4, it says be angry and sin not, verse 26. And neither give place to the devil. How do we give place to the devil? By being angry and sinning with our anger. Now, there's a righteous indignation against evil and hating sin and evil, but it's warning us if we're angry and hot-headed with one another and all those kind of things, then what we are doing is we're giving place to the devil. And the truth is, all of us have given place to the devil before. And does that mean you're going to go to hell? No, it just means that hell is going to have a part of your life and is going to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, Satan is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to learn to close the door on all the things. And that it just means that this is why it's so important that we live holy lives. This is why it's so important that when we get back and we understand that the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit will begin to deal with us about areas in our life. How we treat our spouse. How we treat our neighbor. And I'm not talking about being sin conscious. I'm talking about God wants to get those things right because He wants to bless us. And these are the things that hinder us. And you know, the truth is, the more you know about God, the easier it is to see what He's saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Both warning about what to do right and what to do wrong. Or what not to do wrong, rather. And as we grow, we just have to yield ourselves to God. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do these things. And He said He's going to convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin. And about righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. Now, I'm glad that Jesus didn't stop there, but He explained it. What does it mean that He's going to convict and convince the world about sin, righteousness, and about judgment? Because for us to come to Christ, these things are needed. They're needed. We need to be confronted with us and those things that come to Christ. You better be thank your God that He deals with us. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, whom He loves, He corrects. He disciplines. He deals with. And for those He don't deal with, they're illegitimate sons. So let's read verse 9. Hope this is helping. So this is what he said about sin, because they do not believe in me. Trust in, rely on, and hear to me. See, so he deals with people about their rejection. The sin that he deals with us, number one, about, first and foremost, is a rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the first one. Now, he may get your attention. You may know it's wrong on certain things. But the real one that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with you about is the real root cause that separates you from God. And that is your rejection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 10. About righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. In other words, God by His Holy Spirit is going to reveal there is one way to be right before God in the sight of God, and that is because of what Jesus Christ has done. It is the Holy Spirit's work to reveal to the world, not only who Jesus is, but the work that He did that produces us having confidence that not only can we come to God, but we can be right after coming to God. Aren't you glad that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ? You're not going to be. That's why I tell people many times that come to the altar, I'm led to tell them. Because they've just, like Pastor Doug says, they just done drank from a fire hose for an hour. And now they're giving their heart to Jesus, and it can be overwhelming. Now I look at them, and all the good things I've talked to them about, I said, you know what? I want you to understand tonight, today, this morning, when you pray this prayer, you'll not be more right with God when you get to heaven than you are right now. Most people are waiting to get to heaven to be righteous in the sight of God. But if you ain't righteous in the sight of God right here by the blood of Jesus, then you ain't going to make it to heaven, because that's the only way you can be righteous by. You ain't righteous by your good works. Good works are right. But good works don't make you righteous. Jesus' blood makes us righteous as our faith in His blood. That gives us confidence. That's how we have the new and living way to go into the presence of God. By the blood of Jesus. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm just like you. When I've done something wrong, I feel, ugh. And it don't have to be much. It just have to be, ugh. But here's what I do a lot of times. I just get down and I know how to fix that. I say, God, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, and by the blood of Jesus, by no merits of my own, all of Him. And I said, I ask you to forgive me. And because you said that this is the way to come, I have full confidence now that when I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So thank you for forgiving me, and thanking you right now. It's gone. It doesn't exist. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And we're going to get that business done together right now. Praise the Lord. That's how you got to do it. That just shows you have confidence in God. That's faith in God. So notice in verse 11, it goes on to say, and about judgment. Oh, I don't like talking about judgment, Pastor Chris. The world already thinks that we're condemning them. No, Jesus said, He said, remember in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He said something amazing after that. He said, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. But notice verse 18, it goes on. Jesus said, he that believeth on me is not condemned or judged guilty, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name and on the only begotten Son of God. See, the reason people say, you're judging me, you're condemning me, is because in their hearts they already know they're condemned. The Holy Ghost has already been working. Now I'm not advocating we condemn anybody. But telling them Jesus is Savior and their need of Him is condemning no one. It's telling them the same thing that Jesus said, and it's love. Love is always telling, always know this. If a person tells you you are judging them, if you have told them the word, You are not judging them. You're telling them, if you told them the word, you are loving them. Their own conscience is bothering them. And we thank God we know that God speaks through the conscience. But there's such thing as searing your conscience. Means you do it over and over. See, how many like coffee? See, that's most of the hands. Praise the Lord. I like it. I don't drink it. And so because if you drink coffee all the time, I guarantee you right now, you can drink, most of you can drink really hot coffee. I couldn't put my tongue on the cup that you can swallow, just go like that. Why? Because I got virgin lips. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying. I got soft lips and tongue. You understand what I'm saying? But because you have, you can actually kind of like callous or you desensitize. And that's what people do when they sin repeatedly and reject God over and over again. It just always gets easier and easier and easier and easier and easier to do it again. And that's the danger. And this is why the Holy Ghost wants to work and break all that up. And he says about judgment, because the ruler of the evil genius, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. God wants the world to know Satan is a defeated foe. And if you, he is the one that they are actually following. And the sin that is in their life will cause the same thing to happen to them that's happened to Satan. It is the Holy Spirit's job to reveal these three areas to the world. Why? So that that person would turn to Christ. Amen. Now let's look at some other things concerning this that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, because this is how God reveals himself. The Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of times once you start understanding what the Word says about the Holy Spirit, you understand that's the Holy Ghost dealing with me. See, a lot of times after you got saved, now you look back and you say, I ain't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I really didn't know nothing about God. I may have been searching for God, but I look back and now I know that was the Holy Ghost dealing with me. I know that was the Holy Ghost dealing with me. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. Woo, glory to God. And it makes us love God that much more. Because everybody say patient. God is patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. John 14, let's look at verse 16 and 17 to begin with. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. He ain't leaving us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, I'm going to stop there one moment. Notice it says whom the world cannot receive. You know who the world is supposed to receive? Receive Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who points them to Jesus. When you receive Christ, when you get born again, you're receiving Christ. Although you are born of the Spirit, although being born of the Spirit is different than being filled with the Spirit. Because right here it says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world can receive Jesus Christ, but the world cannot receive the Holy Ghost. This is why when you get people filled with the Holy Ghost, they got to first be saved in order to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Ain't that good news? Hallelujah. See, you need to be mindful that the Holy Ghost lives in you. Now, this is true. This is how God reveals himself to man. But we have to understand now as believers, this is how God continues to reveal himself. Because you don't know all everything is about God. The moment you think you know everything about God, you are so far away from God, it ain't funny. Now, we should know more than we did, but I can just tell you, we don't know everything about God, and the Holy Spirit will continue to reveal God, and the Holy Spirit will continue to teach us and bring revelation about the things of God. Now, notice, aren't you glad about that? Notice verse 26, it goes on and says, in the same verse, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Woo, he's the teacher. He's the great educator. Hallelujah. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the great thing about the Holy Spirit is that here's how one way that he works. This is why it's important that you hear the Word of God taught, because God will use the Holy Spirit to supernaturally bring to your remembrance the word that you've heard been taught. Jesus said so. This is one reason why the local church is so important. This is one reason why hearing teachings of the Word of God is so valuable to us, because the Holy Spirit will work with, if it's God's Word, the Holy Spirit will work to bring that to your remembrance. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, Pastor Chris, it was as if I was heard you saying it. I've heard people say that over and over the years. You know what? I got into that predicament, and then I remembered. It came to me. It was as if I was hearing you say it, Pastor. I've heard people say things like this. I heard I was in trouble. I was in this circumstance, and I could hear my daddy say, I could hear this. I could remember that. Well, how did that come? It came to help you. If it came to help you, not hurt you, it came from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And if it's the word or principles that line up with the Word of God, or something that's going to deliver your life and help you, keep you out of trouble, you can count on it. The Holy Ghost is going to help you and bring that thing to your remembrance, whatever God has said, or the things that pertain to and of the Holy Spirit or principles in the Word of God. Does that help tonight? All right, let's look at a few other things about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus goes on and says, but when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Notice he's the Spirit of truth, so the Holy Ghost don't lie. So just a thought, if anybody ever told you that the Holy Ghost told them to do something, or God told them to do something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, it won't the Holy Ghost. Let's just be man and woman enough to admit it. If we said the Holy Ghost, if God told us, it's going to line up with the Word of God. Let's just be honest. We could miss it. And let's be less quick to say God told me something unless we know it. Let's just do the Word. Okay? Because the moment somebody says, well, God told me, then they pull the God card on you, and you didn't go argue with that. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I need to meet with you, and they're going to tell me what they're going to do. They told me what they're going to do. Say, God told me this, God told me that. What do you think, Pastor Chris? I said, don't make any difference what I think about that. You already told me what God told you. Who am I? If God told you that, who am I to tell you something different? Amen. Now, I've had to tell people before, honestly, that you didn't hear from God because the Word didn't say that. That didn't line up with the Word. I've had people get mad, and I've had people get glad. But I had to tell them the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice, even the Spirit of truth. Whew, I'm thankful for truth. Because I've been wrong before, but I'd rather have God's right. How about you? I believe we all would. Honestly, we all would. Which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Let me just tell you something. You know how you get the Holy Ghost working in your life? Talk about Jesus. Just start testifying about Jesus. Talk about his faithfulness. Talk about his salvation. Talk about what he's done for you. Talk about him filling you with the Holy Ghost. Talk about how he healed you, how he provided for you. Magnify Jesus, and the Holy Ghost shows up. And I can tell you, he's all about testifying with Jesus Christ, because that is the spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Ghost works with what you talk about Jesus. Not only was the Holy Spirit sent to bring to our remembrance what Jesus said, but the Holy Ghost is working here to brag on, to boast on, to magnify Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's just always make sure that, I'm big on, something I'm big on is sharing your testimony. Very big on it. But just make sure that in the testimony that everybody knows it was Jesus that did it. Just make sure that when you're all said and done, it's all about him. Because we ain't nothing without Him. It's all about what he did. How He changed you. Hallelujah. And what He did for you. Hallelujah. And I'm looking in this room tonight. I'm looking at a group of people that God has done a lot for. Am I talking to the right audience? I know I'm not talking to dead people. Come on. I'm seeing it all over you tonight. John chapter 16 now. And verse 12 and 13. Woo. Glory to God. I love this one. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, I got yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, we're going to come back. Think about that one moment. But you can't bear them right now. You know, Jesus saying, man, I got so much to tell you disciples right now, but I can't tell you. I can't tell you. And you know what? There's things that God ain't going to tell us either where we're at. Because, like I'm hearing you say, you can't handle it. Say this with me. Timing is everything. God knows what you need. He'll get it to you. He's not trying to hold something from you. He just wants you to understand it. I'll explain this a little bit clearer in just a moment. But look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So He's not saying, I'm not going to tell you. He said, I'm just not going to tell you right now, because when the Holy Ghost comes and at the right time, He will tell you everything that I did not tell you. And you're going to know it's what I said. Woo! Glory to God. How be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. He said, I'm not going to tell you right now because you can't handle it, but the Holy Ghost is going to tell you. And He's not going to be saying what He wants to say. He's actually going to be saying what I would have said to you. You just ain't ready for it yet. But whosoever He shall hear, but whatsoever He shall hear, where's the Holy Ghost get it from? That shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's only going to speak what He's heard the Son and the Father say. This is why it's always truth. Hallelujah. Now, when we go back to verse 12, I think we all get this, but I want to show you another verse. In verse 12, we go back. Note, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 33, and look what Jesus said here. And with many such parables spake He the word unto them as they were able to hear it. So, once again, this scripture proves what Jesus said there. There was things that He wanted to say and teach the disciples. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't understand it. So He didn't teach them. But He says, don't fret. There's things that I didn't tell you that when I go away, the great and mighty Holy Spirit is going to come. And He's going to not only teach you what I didn't, but He's going to also show you things to come. He's going to speak what I would have said to you if you were ready for it then. Isn't that good news? That means we can always grow because of the Holy Spirit. Because in man's search for God, the Holy Spirit is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the great revealer of all truth. And truth is first and foremost not a thing. And not just a doctrine, but a person. God Himself and what He said. It is doctrine. But it's not just doctrine. It is most definitely not a thing. It's a person. God and what He says Himself. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Now let's look at these last two things and we'll finish with this point and I promise to do point five, but I should never promise anything, as you well know. Praise the Lord. I thought I'd get there. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just thankful there was a whole group of people that was clapping when I said, it's more important what the Holy Ghost said instead of me just trying to get through the points. I've been trying to get through these points for 3 weeks, five of them. But here's the thing. You know, much of what's shared is dependent upon as much by the audience it is the leader. Whether you realize that or not. You can count on this, when there's a Holy Ghost move and there's a Holy Ghost blowout and all this, that it won't just the minister that was prepared, it was a people that was prepared. It was a people that were pulling. This is why, you know, I just say, and I sense that same anointing tonight in teaching that I normally do when I sub for Pastor Debbie. Most of you, a lot of you may know that the Healing Center, Pastor Debbie leads that, and she's normally the one that teaches. But the last 2 weeks, me and her have taught tag team and taught together. Even though if you were here, you probably say, "Well, you did most of it, Pastor Chris." But you know, but and you know, Pastor Doug, what you laughing for? But I heard you did the same thing in the marriage class. Pam told me. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. No, it's all good. But we yield ourselves to one. We yield ourselves to one. Why am I going there? I'm going there because whenever I teach the Healing Center, is the easiest place to teach. Because everybody that comes is there on purpose and wants the same thing. They want the same thing. If people come prepared and they come warning and they come open and receptive, it's the easiest thing that in the world to teach in the Healing Center. And to receive healing. Because people have come, we're prepared, but the people have come and they're prepared. They come to hear and to be healed. But I sense that same anointing tonight, or that same because you're prepared. It's easy. This is why, you say, well, you blaming your long-windedness, Pastor Chris, on me. Well, I'm saying it in a good way. I'm saying it because you're open, you're hungry, and you're ready for the things of God. Hallelujah. With many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Now, so let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I won't even get finished at this. Acts chapter 2, let's look at this. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, let's just talk about this one moment. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the people of Jerusalem. When the disciples came up from the upper room, speaking in other tongues, into the streets, the people said, "Whew, these people are drunk on wine." And Peter had to stand up and say, "We ain't drunk on wine. Let me tell you about what this is all about." This is why, you know, this is why a church like this gets all kind of raps. If you really follow the Holy Ghost, God doesn't make you weird. He makes you different. But he makes you God different. And it will challenge people, even believers, in their belief, in their attitude, to the degree that many times people say, "Oh, that's too much for me." But I can just tell you, we need Holy Ghost encounters. What the Jerusalem needed was a Holy Ghost encounter. What those disciples that were hiding out in the upper room, Peter, one of them, who had denied the Lord three times that Jesus already warned him about that he was going to do, the very one that had denied him and now in the street saying, "Let me just tell you what this is really about. This is, and it shall come to pass in the last days I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh." So what you're seeing is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we all need. And that spirit has been poured out since the day of Pentecost, and God hasn't stopped pouring it out. And the Spirit moves as we talk about Him. As we magnify Him and give way and place to Him, He is moving. As we want Him, He is moving. As we invite Him, He is moving. God ain't stopped pouring out. He's just waiting for people that understand His move. And move with Him, because the Holy Ghost is always moving. But the Holy Ghost is waiting like it was at the beginning to hear the Word of God so He can perform what He hears the saints say that God is saying. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Now, let me stop there one moment. Number one, there's actually three things here, and we'll close and we won't finish. We won't even finish point number four tonight. Praise the Lord. Imagine that. Look at your neighbor and say, "Imagine that." Now look at your other neighbor and say, "But pay attention to what he's about to say." This verse is saying there's three things that connected with the Holy Ghost. Three things connected with the Holy Ghost. I get it right. Number one, with the Holy Spirit being filled with the Holy Ghost, how important it is. He wants the world, He wants everyone to be saved, be born of the Spirit. But once we're born of the Spirit, He wants us filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's moving is always, the Holy Spirit's always going to lead you. According to the Word, the Holy Ghost is always going to lead you into that experience to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we can resist it, and people do all the time. I know wonderful people in heaven today. Pastor Devin and I try to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, people we love, we're close to, even family members who love. 100% saved, love Jesus with all their heart. Been saved for so many years. But when we talk to them about being filled with the Holy Ghost, no, child, that's not for me. Amen. Well, it was for Jesus, and it's for His church, and it's for, amen, come on. So anyway, that make them a bad person. It just means that they're missing. They know now. They know. They missed it in that area. But, you know, I hate to say it. Most of us are going to get to heaven and find out that we missed it on something. But let's not it be a list that this long that we go back to head start in heaven. Come on. Hey, you're in heaven. And the person that's been there a while say, what class you in tomorrow? And you say, oh, well, I'm in the advanced learners. They go say, there's no line in heaven. I already seen it. You're back in Head Start. You know I'm a mess. Praise the Lord. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I'm trying to finish. You're doing real good to help me. Amen. Not help me, that is. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So there's three things here the Holy Spirit's going to work with. He's going to work with us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and He's going to work with dreams and visions. Let me tell you something. One of God's last days language of heaven is communication with man is the Holy Spirit. Within the Holy Spirit, it's not only being filled with the Holy Spirit, but dreams and visions. Now, we may live and die and never have a dream or vision. But that doesn't, and we don't seek dreams and visions, we seek God. And as God wills, we can have dreams and visions. I'll be honest with you, I don't really know if I've ever, there's different, I know I've had two spiritual dreams. I know I've had two dreams from God. Now, let me tell you something. There's not enough seats in this room to tell you how many dreams I've had. But not near one of them was of God. Except those two. Okay? So, I know we read this and we get to a thing that said, you know, Peter had this dream, they had the dream. They might have lived and died and only had three dreams. Spiritual dreams. The point that I'm making is not how many. The point that I'm making is part of giving place to the Holy Spirit and part of God's language and communication with man through the Holy Spirit can come in the form of dreams and visions. And we need to know that so we can expect that if God gave us something like that. See, when I say a vision, what do you mean? Well, there's actually three types of visions that the Bible teaches about. Now, I don't have time to teach you that, obviously, but there are three types of visions. And in a vision, you could have an appearance of an angel. We talked about the supernatural ministry of angels. Angels are sent as ministered servants to the heirs of salvation. We're the heirs of salvation. They're sent to serve us. So they could deliver a message from Almighty God to us. And we talked about those types of things. So the important thing of this is when you understand this, what does it do to us? It should stir our hearts. It should cause us to seek God. It should cause us to be hungry for God to show us more. To understand, let's not put a cap and limit God. Let's just be open to first know, and to be open, we have to know what God wants for us and what He said He would do. And once He does, we understand that God is not only going to reveal Himself to man, He's going to continue to reveal Himself to man. Not only to come to faith in Christ, but to further His faith in Christ. He will use the Holy Ghost. Stand with me tonight as we close. Father, we thank You and we praise You tonight for help. Thank You, Brother Ryan, for Your help. So, you know, we talked about several things. Why don't you just bow your hearts and heads with me in closing tonight? God loves you so much. I said, God loves you so much. Amen. Why don't you thank Him tonight? Now, I'm going to say this in closing, that I want to give three invitations tonight. I want to give one for...
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.